Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Beis. We're already about a third of the way down, 18 lines down on Yud Beis Omid Aleph, and we begin a new sugya with Omar Rav Lili Bar Mamo. Omar Mar Ukva, Omar Shmuel. Rav Lili Bar Mamo says over the name of Mar Ukva, who says over the name of the Shmuel, the following din. We had some of these dinim mentioned previously in the Perek, and here's where we'll see the source of them. Tsoras Mam Enes Asura. If a young lady below the age of Bas Mitzvah, she's not yet 12 years old, is married off midirabbanon. So that is a dirabbanon marriage, not a deraisa marriage. Her mother or her older brothers, or under certain situations, her father, as we'll see, she could be called a yesoma b'chai yavia. If her father had married her off deraisa, and then she got divorced, so then she returns back to her father's house, but the father no longer has the right to marry her off deraisa, but he can also marry her off midirabbanon. This is called the yesoma b'chai yavia, as we will see. In any of these situations where she's married only midirabbanon, so she has the right to walk out of that marriage, what we call miyun, prior to the age of 12 years old, a bas mitzvah. And machlokis as to whether she needs to have simonim fully or just shtei saros is a machlokis tachachamim and rehuda, which we'll allude to again a little bit later on. But the basic principle that we need to understand today is this is called miyun. Now, if she's married to a regular person, midirabbanon, and she leaves that marriage via miyun, she refuses him. That's what the word miyun literally means, and she leaves, so she doesn't require a get, she's not considered halachically to have been married to him, and she would be permitted to marry all of his relatives still after that miyun. But if, in fact, she did not do miyun, and her husband dies childless, so then she falls yibam, albeit it's only a din derabbanon, but she falls miyun. So in that situation, she would be allowed to be taken in yibam by her dead husband's brother, a regular case of yibam, albeit this would be midirabbanon. But if she refuses him, if she refuses the Yavam, so then that is also halachically allowed. She refuses the Yavam by doing miyun to him, and then she no longer is able to go and marry him. And the marriage is theoretically, retroactively uprooted from her first husband as well. Albeit, Rashi points out, Tosfos Yeshanim here says the same idea, that here it looks too much like she fell to this Yavam, because everybody saw that she was married to the first husband, and that marriage never dissolved, and now, if she were to just refuse this Yavam, so it looks too much like that marriage that she had with her first husband is still intact, even though halachically it's not, so therefore the rabbis in this situation added several safeguards. As Rashi in Dibur Maskil Eladidei says, she is nearest ke'eshes ochiv, she looks like she's still married to the original husband that she was married to and didn't do miyun with, albeit her doing miyun to the Yavam retroactively uproots that as well. And the Tosfos Yeshanim says the same idea in Dibur Maskil Miyun Abazeh Muteres Bazeh, and he says, Nitztarech lo yetzei mimenu aidei miyun, nira ke'eshes ish. If she goes out from the Yavam with miyun, it looks like she was really an eshes ish to the first husband. And this will lead to certain ramifications. So, understanding this, we can now understand the statement that Rav Lili Bar Mamo says in the name of Mar Ukva, saying in the name of Shmuel, that Tsoras Mam Enes Asura, that the Tsora, if there's another co-wife, so again, Ruvain had married this young lady as a ketana, a marriage derabbanon, and he has a regular full-fledged wife with a gedola, so the Tsora of the Mam Enes is Asura, is forbidden in marriage. Now, what does that mean? She's forbidden. She's asura. So, Laman, who is she asura to? The Gemara asks. If you're going to tell me that the tzara is not permitted to go and have yibam done with any of the other brothers. So, again, let's set up our case over here. We have Reuven, who is married to the ketana. No miyun was done. That was a full marriage, albeit derabbanon. And then he has a regular daraisa wife. So, he has two wives. We'll call them Rachel was the ketana, and Leah is the gedola. Reuven Nebuch dies, and now Yavam Shimon, one of the brothers, wants to do Yibam with the younger girl, and she refuses him. She does Miyun. So she was Mimam Enes to Shimon, one of the brothers. So do we say that she is Asura to all of the other brothers as well? That can't be, because the Gemara says, Hashta now, he Gufa Sharya. This girl who was Mimamenes to Shimon is technically still permitted to do Yibam with either Levi or Yehuda, the other brothers. Because the Amar Shmuel himself was the one that said, Me and Abazeh, Muteres Bazeh. Even though she was Mimamenes with regards to Shimon, that means she doesn't want to marry Shimon. But that doesn't mean that technically she couldn't go and marry Levi or Yehuda. So therefore, if Shmuel says, Me and Abazeh, Muteres Bazeh, so if the Mimanenes is still permitted to Levi and Yehuda, so Alachas Kama Vakama, Tzaros Miboya, you have to tell me that the other co-wife of Reuven is not permitted to do Yibam with Levi or Yehuda? So that can't be. Ella, when Shmuel says that the Tzaros Mamenes is Asura, it must mean Ella Ludide. So the other wife, the Raisa wife of Reuven, if the Dirabanan wife of Reuven did Miyun to Shimon, if Rachel did Miyun to Shimon, so then Leah, the Gedola wife, is also prohibited from doing Yibam with Shimon. Now, that must be what Rav Lili Bar Mamo said over the name of Marukva, who said over the name of Shmuel. Now, how come if we say over here that the Mamenes is still permitted to go and have Yibam with Levi or Yehuda, the other brothers, because the law of the Humaisa, because they did nothing. She did nothing with them. They did nothing with her. So therefore, this is a regular case of Yibam. So they're still permitted to have one of them do Yibam with her, because the law of the Humaisa. So then, based upon that, so the Tzara, Nami, why did Shmuel say that the Tzara is usher to have Yibam with Shimon? After all, the law of the Bumaisa, nothing was done there as well. Tzara Nami, law of the Bumaisa. The Tzara didn't do anything in terms of Shimon or to Levi or to Yehuda, so why should the Tzara not be permitted to go and have Yibam with Shimon? That's the question. Shmuel said, no, he can't. Tzara's Mamenes is Asura, so the question is why? If there was no Maisa done, why, if she's allowed to have Yibam with Levi or Yehuda, would she not be allowed to go and have Yibam with Shimon as well? So here's where the Gemara tells us this is a Gezerah. Gezerah, we have to institute a Gezerah over here, not to allow her to have Yibam with Shimon, the co-wife, the Tzara, can't have Yibam with Shimon, Mishum Tzaras Bito Mamenes, because of the concern of a Tzaras Bito Mamenes. Now what is this? So this is the case I mentioned before of Yisoma B'chai Avia. What we have over here is that the father had married off his daughter Rachel on a Daraisa level. He married it off to Yankel. And Yankel divorced her, or Yankel died. So that din the Araisa marriage. She was only 3 years old. She was a young girl. But the father has the right to marry off his daughter, Daraisa. But that marriage ended, either through divorce or through death. And now she returns back to her father's house, but he no longer has the right to marry off Daraisa. But he's no different than if he had been dead and the mother of the girl or the older brothers of the girl had married her off midirabanan. And this is the case where the father marries her off now midirabanan. He's called a Yesoma b'chayi avia. This young lady is known as a Yesoma b'chayi avia, and that the father only has the right to marry her off midirabanan. So what happens over here now? This father, we'll call him Shimon, goes and marries off his daughter midirabanan to his brother, to Reuven. So Reuven marries his niece, a perfectly heter marriage in the times of the Gemara. Nowadays we don't do this, but in the times of the Gemara, this was actually a mitzvah, and it's certainly not something that is prohibited. Even nowadays, we just don't recommend it because of genetic reasons, but it wouldn't be forbidden from a halachi point of view. So now Reuven has a marriage dirabonon, Yisoma b'chayi avia marriage, with his niece, Rachel. And he marries another woman, Leah, as well. Now, what happens? Nebuch, Reuven dies, and now Rachel, the daughter of Shimon, falls to Shimon and Yibam along with the Tzara. So in this situation, the rabbis made a gezerah that we don't allow any Tzara of Amamenes to go and marry Shimon through Yibam because of this case, that it looks like, since if we were to allow the Tzara, Leah in this situation, to do Yibam with Shimon, it would look like a Tzaras Erva was allowed to go and be married, which goes against the opinion of the Chamesh Yisrei Noshim, the first mission that we had in this Masechta, Beis Hillel's opinion, that the Tzaras Erva is not allowed. So since in this situation, it would appear, again, appearances sake, since she never did Miyun with Reuven, and now she would be doing Miyun with her father, Shimon, because she's not allowed to marry her father in Yibam, so technically the Tzara would be allowed to go and marry through Yibam Shimon. But this looks too much like Tzara's Erva, Tzara's Bito Mam Enes, and therefore the rabbis made Xera, we never allow the Tzara to go and do Yibam with Shimon in a situation, even when the Kitana, who Miyun was being done to Shimon with, was not an Erva, but because of the Bito Mam Enes, because of the Tzara's Bito Mam Enes situation, we don't allow it at all. So this is a Gzeira that's instituted. The more questions this and says, really? Vitzara's Bito Mam Enes mi Asira? Do we really always say that the Tzara of the Bito Mam Enes is is going to be usher. This case where Reuven marries his niece Midrabanan, and then Reuven dies, and the daughter were to fall then to her father, and we say that's Tzaras Bitum Amenes, is not allowed? Is that really true, Miasira? You're telling me we make such a din? After all, the marriage is uprooted. What's not? We learned in the Mishnah, our very first Mishnah here, it said, V'chulon, in all of these situations, where we said that Chamesh Yisri Noshim are going to forbid the Tzara to do Yibam, so we said, that's only if they were married at the time of Reuven's death. But if Reuven, before he died, had ended that marriage with the Erva, for example, V'chulon Amesu, if the Erva had passed away before Reuven had died, or Miano, or if there was Miyun done to dissolve that marriage, or we said if there was a Gerishin done, so that the Erva was no longer married to Reuven at the time of Reuven's death, in that situation we said, Tzarasei Mutaros. In fact, all the Tzaros are permitted to do Yibam. Now, when did this Miyun that we talked about here occur? The Miano Biman. Who did Miyun to who? If you're going to tell me, Ilemo de Miano Bebal, that this young lady was Mimain with Reuven, so she's the niece of Reuven, and she says to Reuven, I'm sorry, it's just not working out, and I'm leaving here. So in that situation, so if that occurred while Reuven was still alive, so then how is that any different than the case of Gerusha, Hainu Gerusha? What difference would it make if she did Miyun, or if Reuven divorced her? That would be telling us the same din. So obviously, that's not what it's coming to teach us. Isn't it then coming to teach us Elalav B'Yavam? Isn't it coming to tell us that she was not Mimayin to Reuven, but she was Mimayin to her father? And yet it says in this situation that the Hulon in Mesu Omianu Tzorosein Mutaros. So how can you tell me that we make such a Gzera? Here you see, seemingly from our Mishnah, that even though she did Miyun to Shimon, her father, nevertheless the Tzor is permitted. So we don't make such a Gzera, because technically that marriage never occurred. When you do Miyun to the Yavam, it's as if the marriage was totally uprooted, and therefore there is no Tzaras Erva situation. So Moshe says, no, that's incorrect. You misunderstood it. When we said Miyun over here, lo, it's not talking about that she did Miyun to her father, Shimon, but la'olam bebal, she actually did Miyun to Reuven while Reuven was still alive. And therefore, it's not the same as Gerishin, it's Trei Gavnei Gerishin. One is called Miyun, and one is called Gerishin, and the Mishnah is teaching us both of those situations. But if in fact she only did Miyun to her father, after Reuven passes away, she falls in Yibam to her father, so then when she does Miyun, Shmuel's Gezerah is in fact extant, Gezerah Mishum Tzoras Bitomam Enes. But the Gemara still questions this and says, I don't understand. Miyun totally uproots the marriage. So umayishno ki miyano bebal diyakirinu l'nisuin ki miyano biyovo nami nisuin kamoi ko okra. I don't understand, the Gemara says. When you do miyun, it makes the marriage as if it never existed. And therefore, what difference does it make if she did miyun to Reuven, her husband, or she does miyun to the Yavam, which in this situation is Shimon, her father? The bottom line is that original marriage is uprooted via the Miyun. And therefore, it's as if the marriage never took place. And therefore, why should the Tzara be usher even via this Gezerah? The marriage did not occur. Whether you did Miyun to the original husband or you do Miyun to the Yavam, it retroactively uproots the entire marriage. So why shouldn't the Tzoras Mimamenes be Mutter? Why do we make a Gezerah over here because of Tzoras Bito Mamenes? And here's what the Gemara gives the Teretz that I pointed out before from Rashi and Tosfos Yishanim, Mishum the Tani Rami Vayecheskel. That's because of what Rami Vayecheskel said. What did Rami Vayecheskel say? The Tani Rami Vayecheskel, Miyano Bebal, Muteres Liyoviv. If, in fact, she were to do Miyan to her husband, so then she would be permitted to go and marry all of his relatives. So, for example, in a regular situation where Yankel goes and marries via this marriage de Rabbanon, Rachel, and then Rachel goes and does Miyun to Yaakov, so then she would be allowed to go and marry after that his father Yitzchak, his grandfather Avraham. Not a problem. Muteris la'aviv, she's permitted to all of his relatives because that marriage is totally uprooted. However, if in fact she never did Miyun to her husband, and then her husband never passes away, and they don't have children, so if she did Miyun b'yavam, so then asura la'aviv, then we do not allow her to go and say she can now go marry any of her original husband or the Yavam, who's the brother of her original husband, their father, their relatives. Asur li'aviv in that situation. Why? Alma, Mishas Nefila Nires Kekalo. So, because in this situation, it looks from that moment in time that she didn't do Mian to her husband. Let's say when Reuven dies and she didn't do Mian to Reuven, so it looks like Reuven's father, Yaakov, has a daughter-in-law. Nebuch, his son died, but he has a daughter-in-law still. Nira, it appears that this is Kaloso. And therefore, when she does Mian to the Yavam, it doesn't remove the fact that it still looks like she was married to Reuven. So Midirabanan, the rabbis instituted over here, don't marry Asura L'Oviv. She's not allowed to marry any of her husband's, Reuven's, relatives, or likewise Shimon's relatives, because this is all a same paternal family, but assuming that Shimon had other relatives, she wouldn't be allowed to marry Shimon's relatives as well. So Asura L'Oviv in this situation. Again, because of appearance's sake, not because of the technical din. And just like in that situation, Mishum, it looks like that she's falling nearest Kekaloso, so to Hochanami. In our case, Mishas Nefila, when she falls Yibam to Shimon, nearest Kitzaras Bito. It looks like when she falls now to her father in Yibam, in this situation where Reuven married his niece Midrabanan, and then Reuven dies, so she falls to Shimon, her father, so it looks like she was married to Reuven, and therefore it looks like this is Tsaras Bito. It looks like the other wife of Reuven, the Gedola wife of Reuven, was a Tsaras Erva, Tsaras Bito. And for appearance's sake, the rabbis will go over here. That's the understanding of Shmuel's din. Similarly, we have another case. Amar Rav Asi, Tsaras Islandus Asura. An Islandus, Rashi reminds us, is a male ram, Duchrinisa. And unfortunately, an Islandus is a woman who's incapable of having children. And this Lashon is the Lashon of Zohar. And therefore, this woman can never be Mekayim Shem Be'ochiv. She'll never be able to go and Yokum Al Shem Ochiv Hameis. This will be impossible because she's not capable of having children. So Rav Asi tells us that the tzara of an islandess is also forbidden to have yibum done to her. We don't say, well, since the islandess can't have it, so as if that marriage didn't occur, and we uproot that marriage, and therefore the only marriage that we have is with the other wife, but we say, no, the tzara of an islandess, the islandess was a legitimate marriage, and therefore she is now also through Eishes Ach because she can't do Yibam, so therefore the Isra of Eishes Ach occurs. And therefore, somewhat paradoxically, the Tzara is the Tzara of an Erva, the Erva being Eishes Ach. And therefore, even though they fall in Yibam, the islandess doesn't fall in Yibam, therefore the islandess retains the name of Eishes Ach. And therefore, Tzara's islandess is the Tzara of an Erva. And the Tzara of an Erva, that's the Chamesh Esrei Noshim. Here's another example. Tsaras Islandus is Asura. That's what Rav Asi says. And this is based upon the Pasuk. Shenemar, V'ayah Bechor Asher Teleid, and the rest of the Pasuk is the critical part. Yakum Hashem Ochiv Hameis, V'lo Yimocha Shemo B'Yisrael. So the whole purpose of Yibam is to establish the name of a child in the replacement, so to say, of the dead father. To bring a name about for the dead father. And since this islandess can't, so she becomes still the Isra of Eishes Ach, and therefore she's an Erva to the Yavam, and therefore the Tzara of the Erva is also forbidden. That's Rav Asi's din. More questions? This Masa Rav Sheshes. Sheshes asks the following. Let's say we have three brothers, Shlosha Achen. They're married, Nesuin, Shlosha, Noshim, Nochrios. Three unrelated women. So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and they're married to Rachel, Leah, and Chana. So they're married to three women. Umeis Echad Mehem. So Reuven dies. He's married to Rachel. And what happens? Rachel then falls to Yibam to either Shimon or Levi. A regular case. Each of them has a co-wife. No problem. Now, the Asa Bo Sheni Maimer. Now here we introduce something which we've not really discussed in this Masechta yet, but it's a very critical item. And that is, Yibam is somewhat of a harsh din in the fact that there's no courtship, so to say. There is no kiddush involved. It's just straight going to Nisuin by taking her and having relations with her. And therefore, the rabbi set up a din called Maimer. This is essentially to make kiddushin, to give her kesef kiddushin, which is technically not necessary because she's zekuka liyavam, and technically you don't need this, but the rabbi said this is the right way to do things. So they instituted something called Maimer. Now, Maimer is a pure din derabbanan. On a deraisa level, it has no standing whatsoever. So what happened over here? Shimon says to the widow of Reuven, I would like to marry you. Here's Kesef Kiddushin. I'm doing Maimer with you. And they're married to a certain extent on a Durabana level. But on the Duraisa level, it has no standing. So technically, she's still Zekuka not only to Shimon, but to Levi. Now, that's what happened over here. Shimon did Maimer with the widow of Reuven. Meisach Avihem, Reuven dies, so Rachel falls in Yibam to Shimon and Levi, and Shimon does Maimer with Rachel. And then Nebuch Shimon dies before he consummates the marriage, the mace. So now you have not only does Shimon's wife fall to Levi in Yibam, his regular full wife, but also this woman who is Maimer, Reuven's wife, Rachel. So she is still Zekuka to Levi from the first husband, but now she's also Zekuka to Levi from the second husband because of the Maimer. So we have a little bit of a situation over here in that this woman, Rachel, who was previously married to Reuven and now is married, so to say, midrabbanan via Maimer to Shimon, now falls to Levi. So she falls to Levi via two reasons. The Zika Daraisa from Reuven still is in effect, but also the Zika midrabbanan from Shimon through the Maimer is also there. So she's falling to Levi for two reasons, and that's a problem. Because we have the pasuk, and Rashi points out this is an asmachta. We don't really learn it out from this pasuk; it's really all an asmachta. But the pasuk says, and you see this in Rashi, Dibra Masel Dosiv Umeis Echad Mehem, all the way towards the bottom, and it says, "V'lo Zu Shemesu Beis Balam," that you're only allowed to go and have Yibam with a woman who falls to you from one husband, but not in this situation, this woman Rachel who falls to Levi from both Reuven Midoraisa and from Shimon Midrabanan. Zikas shnehem oleha, the zika of both of them is upon her, ushtehem asurus midrabanan, and this therefore is an issur derabanan for her to go and have yibam with Levi. And the pasuk that we bring down is an asmachta to this din. In any event, now let's go back to the Gemara. So hare elu chotzos, both the ex-wife of Reuven Rachel, who had Maimer with Shimon, can't fall to Levi and Yibam, but also Shimon's other full wife, the Daraisa wife, can't fall to Levi, because in this situation, she's a tzara of a erva, somebody who's not permitted to go, albeit be the Rabbanan. And therefore, in both of these situations, the Zika Daraisa is still there, so Levi has to give Chalitza to both of them. Hare Elu Chotzos, Levi has to give a separate Chalitza to Rachel, Reuven's first wife, and he has to give a separate Chalitza to Leah, Shimon's wife, but Velo Misyabmos, he's not allowed to do Yibam with either one of them, because of this Pasuk, and this is an Asmachta, Shenemar Umeis Echad Mehem, and again, we don't finish the Pasuk over here, but the full Pasuk is Umeis Echad Mehem, Uvein Ein Lo, so then it says, Lo Sia Eishes Hameis Achutzo Liish Zor. And here we have the pasuk continuing, Yavama Yavo Aleha Ulakachalo Leisha V'yibma. This is a pasuk we had many times already, and this pasuk tells us, and again, it's only the Rabbanan, it's an asmachta, this pasuk, Misha Aleha Zikas Yavam Echad is allowed to be taken in Yibam. So, if there's only one Zika over here, just Reuven, so then Levi would be allowed to take her. However, since you have the Zikum in the Raisa of Reuven, as well as the Zikum in the Rabbanim from Shimon, so below Zika Shnei Yavmim, and therefore we don't allow Yibam, but we do require Chalitza still, because on the Raisa level, each of them fell separately. On the Raisa level, Rachel fell from Reuven, and on the Raisa level, Leah fell from Shimon, so Levi has to do Chalitza to both of them. Now, what did it say about this Mishnah? Uktani Allah, it says about this Mishnah. We have the Girsa Amar Rav Yosef, and the Source of Shasi says this really should be Divrei Rav Yosi. In any event, what was said by either Rav Yosef or Rav Yosi, Zuhi, this situation over here, where this lady, Rachel, who was originally Reuven's wife, and then had Maimer from Shimon, so this Rachel, Zuhi, Tsaras Eishes Ach Me'av, is an example of the Tsara of an Eishes Ach Me'av. This is a tzara over here of someone who is forbidden. How? She'isu Nefila Garmlo. The fact that she fell in Yibam a second time, that's what's going to prevent Shimon's wife, Leah, from having Yibam with Levi. Because this double connection from Reuven's widow, that she was at the Raisa level falling, but then on the Durabana level, she falls as well to Levi. So this Isser of Nefila is actually what caused the Garam law that she can't, the wife of Shimon, Leah, can't have full Yibam with Yehuda. And the statement from Rav Yosef or Rav Yosi is continued, Shalom Hatzina B'chol HaTorah Kula Kagonzos. This is an exception. This is the only time we have this. And the Gemara questions, what do you mean, Zu? This is the exception. Zuhi limute mai, as opposed to what other case? Ah, Isn't it coming? La lemute tzores island is dishaya. Ah, so here's the question. Only this case does Yibam cause a woman not to be able to have Yibam. The fact that Rachel fell in Yibam from two people, that din of Yibam caused Leah not to be able to have Yibam. But this is the only case like that, as opposed to the Tsaris Islandess, where we're saying that the Islandess fell, and her falling in Yibam makes her into an Erva of Eshesach, because she can't be Yokum Shem Ochiv, and therefore the Tsar of the Islandess also should be a case where Yibam causes it, and yet Yibam didn't cause it there, because it says Zuhi, and only this case, as opposed to Lemute Tsaris Islandess Deshaya. So that's the question that Rav Sheshes asks on Rav Asi. The Gemara says, no, lo, that's not it. In fact, the Tsaris Islandess is also excluded, but for a different reason. Lemute Tsaris Islandess is the Asira. That's because that case is Aser. So when we say over here, Zuhi, this is the only one that is exactly this way, that you require Chalitza, but don't allow Yibam. We have another case where not only do we not allow Yibam, but we also don't require Chalitza. And that's the case of the Tsaris Islandess, because that's a Din D'Oraisa, and this is only a Din D'Rabbanon. The Asira is different. Levutri Tsaris Islandess Asira. Well, my zoo here, what do you mean over here that this is the only case? So this is the only case when we have the Maimer case with Rachel having Maimer with Shimon, as well as falling via Daraisa to Shimon and Levi. So Zuhi, the Issa Nefila Garmla, this is the example where the actual falling in Yibam after Shimon dies causes her not to be able to have Yibam with Levi. So that is dealing over here with Tsarasa Boya Chalitza, that you require Chalitza in this situation. But the case of the Islandess case, Afilu Chalitza Loboy, you don't even require Chalitza at all. Why not? My timer? Again, because in the case of the Islandess, so the Islandess is now an Ervas Eishes Och, and therefore that on a Daraisa level isn't permitted because of the Pasuk, that Lokom Shem Biochiv, and therefore the Tsara of the Islandess is a Tsaris Erva on a Daraisa level, Ha Daraisa, as opposed to our case with the Maimer, that's only Midrabbanon, and therefore you require Chalitza. So that's what it means, Zuhi. This one is the only case where you require Chalitza. The other case, the Tsaris Islandess, you don't even require Chalitza. So that was Rav Asi's response to Rav Sheshes. Tonight we have another Shaila against Rav Asi. We learned in the Mishnah, also in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, it said, Bekulon imesu omianu oniskarshu Ocean Nimtsu Islandess. The case there, it says, if you find out that she's an islandess, so then we said, Tsaros Sein Mutaros, that the Tsaro of the islandess is Mutter. So how can you tell me, Rav Asi, that the Tsaro of the islandess is not Mutter? Seems to be contradictory to the straight Beferish Mishnah. I said, no, that's clearly not a problem. Lokasha, it all depends when she was identified as an islandess. Khan, when Rav Asi said that the Tsaris Islandess is Aser, that's when Reuven knew that he was married to an islandess, and he was happy to be married to an islandess. He has another wife, so he'll have children, so there's no problem of Pruvu. And he loves this woman, so he's allowed to marry an islandess. An islandess is allowed to be married. So, Kan Shehikerba, when Rav Asi said that the Tsaris Islandess is not allowed to have Yibam done to her, so her first husband, Reuven, knew that she was an islandess, and nevertheless he continued the marriage. So now she is not able to have Yibam done to her. So this is a classical case where she's still included in the issue of Eishes Och even after her husband died childless, and therefore she's an erva to Shimon, and therefore Shimon can't marry her and can't marry the Tzara. This is Tzara's erva. That's no problem. That's where Rav Asi's din applies. But when the Mishnah said, Oshinimtsu islandess, that's Kan Shalohi Kibba. That's when Reuven did not know that she was an islandess. And only subsequently now do we find out that she's an islandess. He married her when she was 13 years old, didn't realize that she was an islandess. She only has Simoni islandess, let's say, when she hits 18 or some age much later on. And now we realize that she's an islandess, so now she can't fall to Yibam. In that situation, Tsaros Sein Mutaros, as the Mishnah said. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Daikonami, if you carefully read the Mishnah, you can see that this is true. Notice the wording. It says, Oshenimtsu Islandess. Then Tsaros Sein Mutaros. Diktani Shenimtsu, you only find out now. Velo Kitani Shohayu. And we don't say that she was an islandess already known to Reuven. Ah, Shmamina, that's a good raya. So the opinion of Rav Asi is that Tsaros Islandess is in fact not obligated not only in Yibam, but we don't even need Chalitza. On the other hand, Rava disagrees. Oma Rava, we turn to your base on his base. Rava disagrees. He says, the halacha is Hilchasa Tsaras Island is Muteres. He disagrees with the whole idea that you've turned the islandness into an Erva, essentially of Eishes Ach, and therefore the Tsara is the Tsara of an Erva and is prohibited from Yibam or Chalitza. Rava disagrees with Ravasi's din, and he says, Hilchitza, Tsaras Island is Muteres. And Afilu Hikerba, this is true, he says, the basic mission that says that if she's an islandess, the Tsara of an islandess is permitted. It's based upon the Mishnah that said that the fact that Reuven was married to an islandess, so then the Tsara of the islandess is permitted. So we're saying Mutaros. And this is true even when Reuven knew about this. Vafilu Hikerba. Vafilu Tsaras Bito islandess. And this would even be the case if the woman who was an islandess was actually married to Shimon's daughter. So again, Reuven married his niece, and now she falls, after Reuven dies, to her father, Shimon. Even in this situation, where it's Tsaras Bito, who's the islandess, nevertheless, Rava permits Yibam to be done with the Tsara. Ay, Belha Diktani Shinimtsu. It says Nimtsu, implying that you only find out afterwards, but seemingly that if Reuven knew about it, then that wouldn't apply. So he says, no, Tani Shayu. So read the Mishnah differently. Don't read the Mishnah as if it's Nimtsu. Read it as Shayu. Even when Reuven knows about it, the bottom line is she can't for Yibam, so the entire marriage goes away, and therefore the Tsara is permitted. And this is so much so, Rava says, even if it's a Tsara Zabito who is the islandess, that's still, we don't make any gzeir over here. Rava totally disagrees with Ravasi. Then the Gemara says a conclusion. He also Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, on Rav Yochanan, he said to Rav Yochanan, here's how we paskin in three of these cases that we discussed. Both in the case of Achas Tsaras Mamenes, the Tsara of the Mamenes, as well as the Achas Tsaras Islands, as well as the case of the Tsaras Islandess. The Achas, the case that we had from yesterday, Tsaras Machzir Grushaso, the case where somebody was Machzir Grushaso when he wasn't allowed to do so, and in that situation there was another wife, and then the person who was Machzir Grushaso died. So in all of these situations, Tsaras Mamenes, Tsaras Islandess, and Tsaras Machzir Grushaso, Kulon Mutaros. Rav Yochanan Paskin, as Rovin stated, that all of these tzaras are permitted to have Yibam done to them. Those marriages are not considered to be valid marriages. Either they were uprooted through Miyun, or because there was an islandess situation, and so we're saying Mutaros, or the marriage, the Machzir Grushaso, wasn't a legitimate marriage, and therefore the tzara in all of these situations is allowed to have Yibam or Chalitza done to her. Now, Mark continues and tells us, we learned at the end of the Mishnah that in certain situations, we just went through that Tsarasei Mutaros, for example, in the case of Omienu or Niskarisho and Insta Islandess, in those all of those situations, Tsarasei Mutaros. So on this, Tani Rambibi Kameid Rav Nachman, Rambibi learned the following in front of Rav Nachman, and he said, Shalosh Noshim Mishamshos B'moch. We'll see in a moment what the connection is, why this seems to be coming out of left field, but we'll see. It's to teach us that we could have a scenario, possibly, where in our Mishnah we said that none of those situations of Miyun could ever occur with your mother-in-law, because by definition, if you have a child, and you're therefore the mother-in-law, so you obviously couldn't have Miyun done, so we're going to seemingly prove that that could possibly occur, that even though she is a mother-in-law, she could still have had done Miyun. We'll see what this is in a second. But we start off with Rabibi's din. So Rabibi says that there are three women that are allowed to use contraception with what would be the equivalent of a sponge type of contraception, where it's inserted inside the woman to absorb the zera of the man, either before or after the bia. And this would prevent her from getting pregnant. The zera would be absorbed inside this moch, inside this sponge, inside this piece of material, and therefore, it wouldn't be impregnating the woman. So normally, contraception is not something that halacha sanctions, except if it's under certain situations. And here are three situations where Rabibi says the halacha would sanction using this type of contraception known as a moch, putting in some sort of material inside to absorb the zera, either before or after the relations with the husband. So shalosh, noshim, mishamishos, moch. These three women are allowed halachically to use a moch. Who are these three women? Number one, Kitana, a young woman. We'll see why in a moment. Muberes, a pregnant woman. Renika, a nursing woman. All of these are allowed to use this type of contraception. Now, why? Kitana, the reason why we allow Kitana to use this moch is because Shema Tisaber, because she's a very young lady, and maybe she'll become pregnant, Vishema, and maybe during this pregnancy, Tomos, it's pikuach nefashos, and therefore contraception is allowed for pikuach nefashos. Rachmana litzlan, the woman has a condition. Let's say she has very bad heart disease, and if she were to get pregnant, the volume overload from pregnancy, the extra fluids that are involved in a woman when she's pregnant, would cause her heart to fail, and she would die. So then she's mechuyeves to go and use contraception in that situation. So too, this minor girl, this kitana, she might become pregnant. That's the critical point over here, that she could become pregnant as a kitana, and she might die as a result, which means that maybe she may not die, and in other words, could have a pregnancy without dying, but since there's a possibility, so Rabibi says she'd be allowed to go and use a moch. The muberis, the pregnant woman, now why should she be able to use a moch? After all, she's pregnant. So the Gemara says, shemotase ubrosando, because maybe she, in fact, could become pregnant again. And then the second pregnancy would destroy the first pregnancy, and the second pregnancy as well wouldn't survive either, and you'd end up having no pregnancy. So the ubra, the new pregnancy that could occur, could become a sandal. A sandal is either a certain type of misshapen fetus, it's in the shape of a certain fish, or it's like in the shape of a shoe, a sandal, and it would destroy both pregnancies. And the third woman is a manika, a woman who's nursing. She usually doesn't get pregnant, but she technically could, and therefore maybe she'll get pregnant, and therefore the milk will dry up because now she's pregnant, different hormones are involved, she won't be able to nurse her first child, and that first child will die. So therefore, all three of these women, the ketana, the muberis, and the manika, are allowed to go and use a moch to prevent them from getting pregnant. Now, what is the definition over here of a ketana? The ezo hi ketana. How do we define a ketana? So Bibi continues and he says, this ketana is from a girl, mibas achas esrei shana v'yom echad, from 11 years old in one day, at 12 shana v'yom echad, until she's 12 years old in one day. If she's less than this, pachos mikan, or v'yosir mikan, or more than this, if she's, in other words, she's less than 11 or more than 12, so then, mishameshes kedarka v'leches. Then she doesn't require using the smoke, she's not supposed to use the smoke, and she can have relations in a regular way without using this contraception. Divi Rav Meir. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. In other words, Rav Meir says, in this situation, there is no danger. Either she won't get pregnant because she's not yet 11 years old, or if she does get pregnant because she's more than 12 years old, it'll be a normal pregnancy, and therefore we don't have to be concerned. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chachamim Omrim, no. Achazu v'achazu. They say that all three of these women, not like Rav Bibi brought down the name of Rav Meir, but all three of these women, the Ketana, the Muberis, and the Manika, are allowed to use contraception. The Chachamim say no. All three of these women are not allowed to use contraception. They have relations regularly without contraception, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect them. Umin HaShamayim Yirachamu, because of the principle, Mishum Shenem HaShom Mipesorim Hashem. This is considered an acceptable type of risk, just like you're allowed to go take a shower. We don't have to say, well, maybe you're going to fall and slip and knock your head, and Rahmanul Islam, one in a million people will die in the shower, or you're allowed to cross the street. Some people get hit by a car, Rahmanul Islam, crossing the street, so you shouldn't be allowed to cross the street. No, these are acceptable risks that people take. Shomer Pesach Hashem. Hashem protects, so to say, the people that take these risks. These are normal accepted risks, and therefore, so too, these women, the Ketana, the Muberis, and the Menika, these are normal acceptable risks that they can go and have relations, Kedarka, Min HaShemayim Yirachamu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect them. So there's a machlokas between Rav Meir, yes, you can use contraception in these situations, and the Chachamim say you can't. Now, what is this doing in our Gemara over here? It seems to be coming out of left field. So now we see the connection. Mi deka amar shema tis aber v'shema tamuz. From the fact that Rav Meir says you're allowed to use contraception for the ketana between 11 and 12 is because she might become pregnant, and if she does become pregnant, there's a chance she'll carry through a normal pregnancy or a chance she'll die. So the key words there are shema tamuz, shema tis aber, shema tamuz. Michlal, implication being, the Ika Ketana, there is some young girl who's between the age of 11 and 12, the Miyabra, that will get pregnant, the Lomes, and will not die. So wait a second, if we have such a scenario, that such a young girl could give birth, so Im Kain, then we can go question back on the Mishnah where we said, Im Kain Matzinu Chamoso Mimamenes, then we could have a case where the Chamoso, the mother-in-law, could be the one doing Miyam, because she's still a Ketana over here. So let's say she gave birth when she was 11 years old. Right? So she got pregnant between 11 and 12. She gave birth between 11 and 12. And now, mazel tov, she has a baby. But she's still a ketana. She's not yet 12 years old. She then goes to her husband, who she had a child with, and says, I'm leaving you. She does miyum to him. So now, you have a baby girl that's born over here. This baby girl, the father could technically marry off this 1 month old baby girl to somebody, and it would be a marriage deraisa. So Shimon goes and marries this 1 month old girl. his brother Reuven was the one that was married to this Ketana. And this Ketana now does Mion to Reuven. And therefore the Gemara says, Miklal de Ikotana de Miyabra velo Mesa, Imke Matsinu Chamoso Mimamenes. His mother in law could in fact do Mion to Reuven. That's his mother in law, because he married Midaraisa, that daughter that was born. So his mother in law is married to his brother, and she could do Mion. Imke Matsinu Chamoso Mimamenes. But we learned in our Mishnah, but we said in our Mishnah that it's impossible to ever have the mother-in-law or the grandmother-in-law, either the mother-in-law's mother or the father-in-law's mother, that they can never do Mion. Shenimtsu island is so sheminu. Obviously, it can't be that they're in islands because they have children. And it can't be that they could do Mion because they have children. But here you see a case where they did have a child and yet could do Mion. So that's the kasha. That's why this statement of Rabibi is brought down over here. It seems to contradict our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, when we said over here from Rav Bibi that Rav Meir holds that the reason why a ketana can't do mion is shema tisaber v'somos, don't read it that way. Ema shema tisaber v'somos, not shema tomos, because if she gets pregnant, she will definitely die. No ketana can be able to sustain a pregnancy when she's between 11 and 12 years old, and therefore she will vaday die, and therefore there won't be any situation of mion over here, she'll never die. The Omar Rabba Bar Levoy, his Rabbah, who was the son of Levoy, said, "Gvu yeshla, kol demazman azeh enu mesaberes kolikra." There are limits over here to when a girl can get pregnant. Before the age of 11, she will not be able to get pregnant at all. Period. She's too young. She hasn't reached puberty. She won't be able to get pregnant. Enu mesaberes kolikra before 11. Tol chazman azeh between 11 and 12. Yes, she could get pregnant, but she will die. He mesa during that period of time. She will die, the ubermace, and likewise the fetus will die. Both she and the baby will die. Leachasman is there after 12 years old, so that's a regular potential girl to get pregnant. He chaya, the girl can live, the ubra chaya, and the baby will live as well. So therefore, these are the gedarim, and therefore this will never happen. It's not shema tisaber, shema tomos, it's shema tisaber v'tomos. That's the right way to read the braisa. Mar says, really? Ini? But Rabbi Bar Shmuel said, we said in our Mishnah that none of these scenarios can occur with the mother-in-law or the mother of the mother-in-law or the mother of the father-in-law. Our Mishnah didn't say because it's impossible for it to happen. Our Mishnah said because they gave birth. Now, if we're dealing over here with a mother-in-law, it should have said because she's an adult. It should have said because she's more than 12 years old. It should have said that's why she can't have a situation of mion occurring to her. It shouldn't have said shekvar yoldu because it's telling me a minor can't go and give birth. So obviously the original language was correct. Shema tisaber v'shema tomos. So the Gemara says you're right. El yolam shema tisaber v'shema tomos. That's the way you should read it. Then what about our problem that you could have a mother-in-law that could be my man? That's velo kashahach. So I'm a Rav Safra. No, he says the fact that she gave birth, bonim. If she gave birth as a ketana between 11 and 12, harehen kesimonim. That is the perfect example of having simonim. So there's nothing better than that. And therefore, that clearly shows that she has reached the age where she no longer can do mion. The machlokas I mentioned earlier between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is at what age are you now considered no longer able to do mion? So some suggest that you just have to bring forth simonim. And Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have a larger amount of hair in that area, not just shtei saros, but you have to have a full area of hair there, and therefore both samakam, in order to be considered no longer able to do miyun. So Rav Safra says, having a child, that's even better than having that entire area filled in with hair, and that's the best simon that she is a gedola and can't do miyun anymore. That's one answer. The Istiyamri, alternatively, banim adive mi simonim, that banim aren't like simonim, but the banim are better than simonim than hair. Is there an afkamina persuading that the banim are like simonim, or that the banim are better than simonim? L'may nafkamina? So yeah, this is going the afil of Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion that I just mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the omar achiyir b'ashocha, that you need to have so much hair there that it is black, that area of osamakum, rather than just having two strands of hair, shtei saros. So in that situation, even Rabbi Yehuda would say, b'banim moda. If you would have a child, so then it certainly would be the equivalent of Yar Beshachar. So therefore, even Rav Yehuda would say that having a child would certainly make her into a gedola and can't do miyun anymore. So that is one teretz over here as to why, if a girl has given birth, she no longer can do miyun. Rav Zvira Amar gives a different teretz. He says, Ein ban below simanim. He says, by definition, if she had a child, she obviously had simanim. Why don't we see them? The nivdo, go check them out. And therefore, if she has simanim, that's why you can't do miyun. More says, because chayshin and shem anashu were concerned that during the lay that they fell out. More says, that works out great. According to Man Yom, it says, in general, we're concerned that why we don't do a bedika, because we're concerned that maybe she had simanim, and therefore she's a gedola, but now they're not present. Honich le Man Yom choshin, that we are in general concerned about this. Ele Man Yom ein choshin, according to the opinion, it says, we're not choshin that they fell out, so ma'ik lememar, how come we would, in this situation, be concerned? We are not concerned normally. So Gemara says, no, this is different. Afilu liman diomar ein choshishin. Even according to the opinion that says, under normal circumstances, we're not choshish that the simanim fell out, and therefore a bedika would be adequate. Here it's different. Even according to Man Diomar, that we're not choshish that the simanim fell out, by a regular case, here, by Leida, we are concerned. Mishum tsar Leida chayshinon. Even this Man Diomar would have to say that by Leida we would be concerned that maybe the actual act of giving birth could have caused the simonim to come out. And therefore, if a girl has given birth, we have to presume, Rav Zvid says, that she definitely had simonim. Ein bonim below simonim. And we don't even bother checking because it's possible that the simonim fell out, but they definitely were there if she gave birth. So that's how we would explain Rabbi's statement over here as not being a kasha on our Mishnah that a mother-in-law or the mother of the mother-in-law or the mother of the father-in-law could never be a situation of miyun because it's impossible for that to have occurred without her definitely being a gedola, either from giving birth to a child or because she obviously had simanim and gave birth to a child. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the shiur that we're learning today, Lili Nishmas, Brian Skurnik's father. Brian's a regular listener to the shiur. I'm so sorry, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the shiur. Today is his father's yard site, Shalom ben Avram Yitzhak. All the shiurs we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. With this, we conclude today's shiur.